Blog Talk Radio.
So, well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Preacher Man Miracle Man Show. It's just the Miracle Man tonight, but so glad to have you with us. Sorry for the delayed start, but nonetheless, we got a good show planned. Before I do anything, though, I'm going to first pray for these people for that situation in Florida. So I will do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now over these people, over the families of the victims, and over these victims who got injured, and for all these families and for these students at the school in Florida. I pray, Lord God, that your hand is upon these people and that through you these people have everything they need and through you they are comforted. I pray that these people, if they don't know you, that they find you. And I pray that justice will be served in this case from that cowardly act of a former student. And I just claim, Lord God, that your hand is upon these people and that you would have your way in this case. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the plan for tonight is this. Tonight, we're going to read the Bible, as we always do. But Pastor taught on a subject Thursday night that I'm going to be talking about myself tonight. So we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's going to be about David and Goliath, and I'm going to talk about beating discouragement. We're also going to read our faith verses. And that. And so we're going to do that. We got some sports to get to. We had the All-Star game last evening in Los Angeles. We had a couple Red Wings games, a Michigan State basketball game, and a Michigan basketball game. Also, we have our first Tigers spring training game of the season is this week. I'll tell you when that game will be and where you can hear that game broadcast when we get to that portion of the show. But before I do any of what we talked about, I'm going to give the lowdown. And the reason I give you this lowdown every show about how to get people to join in, you know, and to log on to that website stuff on oncoming episodes is this. We're believing to continue to grow our audience. And I feel one way to do that is to announce so that you listen, my listeners can tell other people how to log on to the show. Here's what you tell people. And this is how you listen to the show. Here's what you tell them. On your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, or your smartphone. In your web browser, go to blogtalkradio.com. That's right. Go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word, and then you'll go to the, you'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Once you type that in, you will see a link, and it should say Living Large, and that's us. That's our show, The Preacher and the Miracle Man. We've done over 80 shows. In fact, I believe we're nearing 85 shows that we've done. Me and Preacher Man have done together. It's been great. We've talked about a lot of great things. And we will continue to do this because we have a heart for this, and we're believing to change the world through faith and radio. Now, we say this every show because we mean it. Now, there's something we say every show because we mean it. It is always a smart thing program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea. I think it's one of the smartest ways to use your smartphone, if you got one, is to use it to listen to the show. Better for you than some of those other games that are on it. No, I'm not against these games. Play them if you want to. But we love you to listen to us. We also have a phone number where you can call in and talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. Now, we have a couple rules about that, but I will get into those after I give the number. And that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. After you call in, you listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says to call into the show, press 1. Like if you want to talk to the show, press 1. Then you go to the call screener. Then we'll let you on to talk to us. Now, we have two rules that we put on you to help us with. And if you can just follow these rules, then that'll help us to have a great show. And the first rule is this: a political talk show. This is not a political talk show. What we believe that talking about politics on this type of show isn't necessarily super uplifting. We decided that when we first started this program that we wanted this to be a program that was more uplifting and bring life. And we want it to be a fun program. So what we have, we don't talk about politics on the show much at all. So here's what's going to happen. If you call in and you want to talk about politics, what's going to happen, here's what's not going to happen. We're not going to yell at you and say, hang up. What we are going to do is say this: you should be praying over the leaders that represent you. based on where you live, you know, city, state, township, if you live in a township, you know, your county. We're going to ask you to pray over your leaders. Don't whine to us about them. Or like today's President's Day. If you call in, don't whine about President Trump. We're going to ask you to pray for President Trump. And number two, we're going to ask you to vote. And here's why. I believe that if you're not voting, then what business do you have coming on a show like this and wham, my president's not working for me, my governor's not working for me, my senator isn't doing anything for me. What you do then is you vote. And you vote Bible. That's what we believe. So we're going to tell you to pray and to vote. Now, our Bible tells us to pray for those who have authority over us. And that includes our police. That includes other law enforcement. That includes our governor, our governors, our mayors. It also includes our president. So, if you help us with that, that would be beautiful. That would be wonderful. Rule number two. This is a family-friendly show. We designed this program so that anyone can come on and listen to the show. Parents, you can feel free to let your parents come on and listen to the show. There's things we don't have on the show. This is a good, godly, Christian program. So generally what we ask you callers to do is basically follow this as a guideline. In Ephesians, there's a verse, and what it says is, let no filthy and corrupt communication come out of your lips. So that means, you know, there's certain words we don't use on this show, and there's certain... So what we basically say to help you with that is that if you wouldn't say it in front of Jesus, then by all means, please don't come and say it on this program. So if you help us with that, then everything can be golden and we can have a wonderful and impacting show, powerful show. That's what we want it to be. Now, listeners, speaking of powerful, starting 2 weeks from tomorrow night is here in Midland at Living Word Church. Starting 2 weeks from tomorrow night and going for 4 days, Tuesday night to Friday night, is our national Holy Spirit Conference with Dr. Mark T. Barclay. And it promises to be a great conference. We basically put our clock in our pocket and let the Holy Ghost move. We just let him come in and do whatever he wants in the services. And if you're wondering when the services are, you can go to marktbarclay.com/ for more information. As the Holy Spirit Conference will be March 6th to March 9th, Tuesday night through Friday night. And as I said, go to marktbarclay.com for more information on the times. And I will be there each night, and I will be filling you guys in, hopefully, on what's happening. As I think it's going to be great. I think some things are going to happen at this Holy Spirit Conference. So I'm really looking forward to it. So with that, we're going to now have our word of prayer, and then we're going to open up our Bibles and get into the meat of the night. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show tonight. The great listeners who are listening to me wherever they're at, be it across the street from me or across the globe. I pray, Lord God, that you're just blessing these listeners, and that you bless their mind and just help them to focus on your word as we spend a few minutes in your word tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, that you bless my mouth. And just help me, Lord God, that I would speak your words out of my own mouth tonight, what you would have me say. And I just pray that you'd be with me. And I pray right now that money comes in for the show. I claim that right now that great increase in listenership is coming to the show. I claim that sponsors are coming. Regardless of what these sponsors are, Lord Jesus, whether it be food places, window companies, anyone who wants to get involved, Lord God, and I just thank you that your hand is upon us and upon the show, and that we will have a great show tonight, and that we will change the world for you through faith and radio. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you got your Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, then let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be doing some reading tonight on David and the crazy giant that he fought. That crazy giant that he fought, that is Goliath. I have just about found my spot. However, there is something I want to touch on, and that is this. Basically, it's going to be this. If you have your Bible with you, then follow along with us. So, in other words, if I study, you study. If I'm praying, you pray. If I'm singing in the spirit or singing a song, you sing. So I'm going to read, like I said, I'm going to read 1 Samuel 30. So with that, here we go. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raised Hang on, I'm going to find that David and Goliath story. David was quite a character, and he did all kinds of things. Looking my way, looking to find it. And while I do it, just going to pray in the spirit for a minute. What?
1 Samuel 17.
Oh, 17. Hang on. I knew it was 17. I was looking for it. However, okay, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. Then after that, once I find it, I'm going to start reading. Now, find it real quick. Then after that, it's time to read. Now, I mistold you wrong. I had said chapter 30. I'm at 17. So go ahead and turn your Bibles then to Samuel 17. And now I'm going to start reading. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Sokol in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes, Damim, between Sokol and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another in the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat with scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his left, he wore bronze gyves and a bronze javelin was sprung on his back. His spear shaft was like a waver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the rocks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servant of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. And if he is able to fight and kill me, then we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him, then I will kill him and will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. One was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 chosen to the command of their unit. See now, your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them." I meant to say, "See how they are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things and supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted the brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine giant champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him with great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage, and will exempt the father's family from Texas in Israel? David asked the men standing near him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised that he should defy the armies of the living God? They replied to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, and he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And of whom did you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. And you came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Verse 33. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one of them. Will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord, who delivered me from the law of the lion. The law of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic. He tried walking around because he was used to them. I cannot go in there, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, his armor bearer in front of him, he kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies and Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Then David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sherim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their sheep. David took the Philistines' head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistines' weapon in his own tent. And as Saul watched David, he said to Abner, commander of the army, Abner, whose son is the young man? Abner replied, as surely as you live, O king, I don't know. The king said, find out whose son this young man is. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. What you saw was David. What we read about was David. And people were telling him, some people were for him, other people were against him. some people were angry that he was going to go after this giant called Goliath. And later on in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 30, it says that David encouraged himself on the beach with the Coca-Cola in his hand and a McDonald's bag on his side, and he was eating a 10-piece McNugget, large fry, and he was drinking a Coke with no ice. Shelley, does it say that? Oh, does it say that David encouraged himself with a 10-piece McNugget, large fry, and large Coke with no ice?
I think that's correct.
Ah! No, that's not correct. I gotcha. We're going to say it right. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, talking to God and praying to God. Now, he encouraged himself by talking to God. Now, David had had some great victories. He defeated the lion. He defeated the bear. He defeated Goliath. And he had so many other great victories, and he had built up so much stuff, but he almost lost it all because he was looking at something he shouldn't have looked at. But nonetheless, he encouraged himself praying to the Lord. And the Bible says that we are to encourage ourselves in the Lord, so that if we feel discouragement, no, we're not talking about depression. Discouragement can lead to it, but we're talking about fighting this discouragement stuff. You know, where you're feeling like I'm a nobody. I just don't feel the same. I don't know if I can make it. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God wants to encourage us as we encourage ourselves in Him. God doesn't want us to be discouraged. Now, we're all going to get discouraged at some points, more than once. I mean, that's what happens in this life. We get disappointed, which can later lead to discouragement. But God wants to help us, and He will, if we let Him. And He wants to just help us. I read that David and Goliath story so that you could see what God can do. As He helped David be able to do it, and even Goliath said, "Oh, you're just a little boy. You can't attack me. You're like, no, you can't knock me down." But then just a little sling, and it knocked him right down. Knocked him right down. Knocked him right down. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11. We're going to start with the 13th verse to read our other more common text as we look to see what else God would have us would have me exhort on tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. Now I'm just turning. Now I am at verse 13. Hebrews 11:13, here we go. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive those things that were promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens, and that they were strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. For God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw them who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now the first two verses of chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you ask me, that is some cool stuff. You know, so I have it within me right now to pray over those of us who are dealing with deep discouragement, regardless of why they're going through it. God doesn't want us to be stuck in this deep root of a super deep discouragement. God wants to help us through this life, and we just got to let him. And one of the best ways that you can help yourself with this is by praying to God about your problems. Don't just, you know, suck your thumbs, because that isn't going to do anything for you. So pray to God. So I'm going to use that as an example. So what's going to happen is I'm going to pray over this discouragement, as well as also pray over the word we read tonight, and then I will move on into the latter stages of this evening's program. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for these listeners. I take this time right now to pray over these people who are fighting discouragement, whatever is causing it. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be maybe they feel like they're doing nothing for you, God, when they are. Maybe it's that they feel lonely. Who knows why these people are feeling so discouraged. But you want to help us with this, Lord God. and help us all with this. I pray, Lord God, that when we feel that you would help us to find out why, and that you would put joy in our hearts for you, God. Not just joy so we're not mad, but joy for you, Lord God, so that we will love you and want to worship you and be in your presence. And now, Lord God, I just thank you for what we read tonight on Goliath and how you helped to empower David to defeat Goliath, that giant, and that you just, and that you were right there and you helped him. And I give you praise and honor and glory, and I just thank you for these listeners that you would speak to them and that you're helping them, and that you're going to work on us. You're going to be our ever, that you are ever-present help in the time of need, in times of discouragement, in whatever we're going through. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now,
Shelly, can you refill this pot? Shelly, can you refill this pot?
Now, Coca-Cola is the sponsor of this program, as is McDonald's. The two go hand in hand. At McDonald's, you can get any size beverage, any size fountain beverage, I should say, that which includes Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, and Fanta Orange for the low price of $1 plus tax. Small, medium, or large, does not matter. You can get any size at McDonald's for $1 as part of the $1, $2, $3 menu. Other items on the $1 menu include the McChicken and the sausage burrito. $2, you can get a small cold McCafe beverage, such as a shake. $3, you can get things like a Happy Meal and a classic chicken sandwich, it's called. And so, Donald's, where I'm loving it. Now with that, we are now going to delve into the world of hockey. Your Detroit Red Wings on Saturday night. Your Detroit Red Wings got a convincing 3-1 win over the Nashville Predators in the great city of Nashville, Tennessee, where I was in. Where I closed out the old year and started the new year in Nashville. And they played in Nashville in front of a great crowd of fans, but it was the Red Wings that were victorious. They also outshot the Predators. Last night, however, they played the New York Islanders in New York. They lost 4-3. Good Wings are going to have to start winning some more if they really want to make the postseason. Now, basketball. In the world of basketball, the number one Michigan State Spartans have stayed that way after coming back from a 27-point deficit in the first half to win 70-65 at Northwestern in Illinois. That is the biggest comeback in Big Ten history, where Michigan State, down by 27 points, came back to win by 5 points as they beat Northwestern. And Northwestern was standing in their way, trying to make it so Michigan State couldn't stay number one in the country or in the Big Ten. So Michigan State looks to keep it going and themselves a nice number one seed in the tournament come March. Michigan beat up on Ohio State by a score of 65-60 at Chrysler Center yesterday. Offense and defense both played a role, and Michigan took the lead for good late in the first half after Ohio State was trying to be pesky and trying to get in the way. I guess you can say that's revenge for what happened to Michigan in football. So Michigan got them. No, Ohio State got them in football, but Michigan got them in basketball as far as in Ohio. As far as what I mean is as far as in Ann Arbor goes. Now, for NBA. In NBA action, Team LeBron, or Eastern Conference, defeated Team Steph, or Western Conference, by a score of 128-125 at Staples Center in Los Angeles last evening. This is the first time since 2010 that the Eastern Conference has beaten the Western Conference in the All-Star game. LeBron did turn out to be a factor. Andre Drummond got some playing time as a replacement for an injured players. So Andre Drummond did factor in the decision. So, good for him. The Pistons will be starting up again soon. Well, in NASCAR, yesterday, Daytona 500, Danica Patrick had her last NASCAR race ever, as she had to end after the 100th lap due to a car crash, after she crashed into another car. So Danica Patrick's Daytona 500 race is over. I mean, her NASCAR career is over, but for now she is still in IndyCars. So, that is your sport. One more thing. On Friday, Detroit Tigers spring training begins. On Friday, they take on the New York Yankees in Lakeland, Florida. You can hear this game live on WSGW 790 AM. At 1 p.m. on Friday. So with that, that's your sports update. And until next time, God first, God always, So long, everybody, and I will see you next time.